The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Anthony A. came into the studio and told me and my husband, DJ Automatic, he felt very fancy because he was sipping wine. Do tell the story. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A., a.k.a. your wine connoisseur.
Story you told. Go ahead.
Anthony is no sommelier.
Thank you for elegantly setting that up, Dana Cortez, because I wish it would have went as smooth as you described it. The past maybe 2 weeks of show, I feel like I've kind of been on fire when it comes to the stage, right? So last night, I was like, you know what? I'm going to reward myself with a nice glass of Pinot Noir. And the comedy club has a new bottle they're trying to offer people. And, you know, they're like, hey, you got to try it. So in my head, I'm going to take this on stage. I'm going to have my little glass of wine. And I'm going to be up there like a smooth talking Casanova, just with my glass of wine. Hey, ladies. But in reality, what came out made me seem like a uncorked auntie at a wedding. You know, I was up there giving a bad best man or maid of honor speech. It was not enjoyable. Wine does not make me funny. And I realized that 12 minutes into my set when a woman in the front row goes, what did he just say? I was like, oh, no.
I was just thinking about.
You thought you looked smooth and sexy and you just were a bumbling idiot. Huh?
Oh, gosh, Otto.
I was struggling to find the way to describe it. But bumbling idiot is actually what the lady said right when I got off stage. I was like, that guy's a bumbling idiot. No, man, it was so embarrassing. And then what made it worse internally for me is that I was trying to balance the wine glass on the stool on the stage, and come to find out that's not a good trick to do. Wine glasses don't really balance well on bar stools.
Did it fall?
No, it didn't. I bet you if it had fell, that would probably got me the laugh I was searching for.
The moral of this story is wine drunk is a whole different kind of drunk.
Because remember this part in the classic cinematic great Clueless?
Do you want something to drink? You know, I could get you some wine.
No. You notice how wine makes people want to feel like sexy?
Well, that's okay.
Did you feel sexy, Anthony?
I felt sexy for about maybe 2 minutes before I got on stage and about 30 seconds while I was on stage. And in the moment I saw that little bar stool kind of teeter back and forth, I knew I was in trouble.
Did you have purple teeth?
Yes. My purple teeth made it worse. So then I'm standing after the show with my purple teeth, acting like I didn't bomb, trying to make friends in front of everybody. And I was probably the worst endorsement for that brand new wine at the comedy club.
Nobody wants that Pinot Noir now.
Well, I'll say I'm going to stick to either water or tequila. Those are my two go-tos when I'm on stage. And those two, you know, they keep me hydrated and they make me spunky. On the wine, I wasn't like giving jokes. I was just kind of like blatantly confessing my insecurities. And that was not good.
How you people enjoy tequila, I'll never understand. And I know my ancestors made tequila and it's supposed to be one of the most wonderful things to come out of Mexico, and the agave plant, and it's medicinal and it's gross.
Ew.
It is so disgusting.
Okay, keep your opinions to yourself. And all I heard from Anthony is he just turned into a mom emotional dumper on stage after the wine.
You and Automatic's mom after a bottle of wine. It's like you guys should hang out together, Anthony.
That's what it was. And when I was 7, this happened to me. It was not good.
Literally. All right. National Day, Anthony A.
We'll start with one that was designed to help children envision themselves in a future career. It is National Take Your Daughters and Sons to Work Day. Yeah.
It was designed for that, but now it's like save a day in daycare fees. Take your son or daughter to work day.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Best friends share just about everything. I'm not so sure sharing your kids' names is a good idea. And that's what's happening right now. These two besties, friends since age 12. So pretty much the beginning of junior high, right? Jesse Watts shared this story with me, our producer behind the scenes. And I said, Jesse, this is good stuff right here, because I would be upset. Or would I? Okay, they're 28 now. Anna says, you know, my girl knows what I want to name my child since age 12. You know, you share these things with your friends.
Yeah, that, when for I have some a reason, baby, it's something you come up with when you're a kid.
Exactly. When I have a baby, I'm going to name him Cheryl or, you know, Brenda or whatever, or Donald or whatever name you come up with. So she says, you know, we went to college together. We roommated together. Their whole lives they've been hanging out. They get pregnant together.
She was well aware that she liked the name.
And now her bestie's like, Anna, I'm going to name my daughter blank blank too, because they're both having girls. And she's very upset. She didn't tell her best friend right away, but she did tell her husband, and husband is like, that's not cool. that's not okay. You need to have a conversation with her, but that's her best friend. So she doesn't exactly know.
Would you lose your best friend over something like this?
No, I wouldn't lose her, but I would definitely say this bothers me. And I would expect her to not name her kid that name if it bothered me.
Well, she obviously doesn't care because anybody with any kind of common sense would know that it was going to bother you. And she just decided to go ahead and do it anyway.
Not necessarily if you don't say it. People don't have, you can't just imagine how somebody else feels. I have to be told. So Anna needs to talk to her best friend and say, hey, girl.
No, you might be right, actually, because my real name is Merritt. And my aunt, Martha.
Like merit badge, by the way, DJ.
My aunt Martha raised me. She would always be at my house taking care of me. And then she decided to name her first son, who is my first cousin, Merritt. And I'm like, how weird is it that I have a first cousin that his name is the exact same name as mine? And what? I'm not going to lie, I was offended. Even as a child, I was offended.
Like, wait, I'm not the only man.
I was supposed to be the one. And now it's like, and granted, I do have 36 first cousins, but it's still weird.
She could have
come up with another name.
So automatic Anthony A. I have a good friend. Her name is Amy Gutierrez. I'll tell you now. She did this to me. Now, it wasn't the exact same thing that's going on with Anna and her best friend, but my oldest daughter's name is Kirsten. I was a young mom. I was only 15 years old when I had her. So she was always with me because we were both pretty much kids. We grew up together. And Amy loved Kirsten. She would come around all the time and she would, you know, we would dress her up. She was like a little doll, you know, we would dress her up. And when she had her first child, I was so excited for her. I went to her house. I said, oh my gosh, she's gorgeous. What's her name? And she said, Kirsten.
What?
Oh.
I was stunned into silence. And your girl here talks a lot. Okay, I rarely have nothing to say. I remember I took a breath. I said, oh, wow. And she didn't even acknowledge, like, Kirsten or why. And then I thought about it. That's actually beautiful.
Maybe it's not that big a deal because it was a big deal to me, but obviously it's not to other people.
It was a big deal to me at first, but when I really thought about it, automatic, it really hit me. She thought the name was beautiful. There was something about the energy in that name that she wanted to pass on to her own child. I felt honored in a way. And I did tell her. I ended up saying, Amy, at first I was a little upset when I met your baby Kirsten. And then it hit me that you did it because you like Kirsten. She's like, Dana, I love Kirsten. And I thought that was such a unique name that when I had my baby girl, I could think of no other name than Kirsten. So you see what I'm saying? All Anna has to do is talk to her bestie and say, this is how I feel. And maybe they can work it out.
Or you could just do like George Foreman did and name everybody George.
That's right.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
DJ Automatic and I are super nervous, Ant, because Ava Maddox's graduation is literally 3.5-4 weeks away. I have not sent out one invitation.
Just in case you don't know, Dana and I are married and we have a daughter named Ava. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
There you go.
Yes, her name is Ava and I call her Ava Matic because of DJ Automatic. Anyway, no invitations have gone out, nor do I even know who to send them to. I'm stressed about that. Her cap and gown, getting the party ready, inviting everybody. I'm so overwhelmed. I feel like I don't even know what I've forgotten to do. Right. That's how much I have to
do. Okay, hold on. Let me just put this. This will give you a perspective on what's going on, Ant. She took her pictures like 5 days ago.
But not even.
Oh, whoa.
She just took senior pictures, and I had to fight her every single step of the way to finally do it.
Yeah, I was the same way when I was a senior in high school. For some reason, I was not feeling the high school senior pictures. And that's a constant battle uphill for any parent.
But Anthony, why? Why weren't you? This is to, you know, document where you are in life, and I can send, you know, your parents could send those photos out. Didn't you want to do that?
I think the biggest thing for me was that my parents were forcing me to do it. And I was like, just anything at that time, anything that they were forcing me to do, I didn't want to do.
I just realized I never took senior pictures. I didn't do
it. Automatic, you didn't do it?
No, I never did it.
Did your parents ask you to?
I'm sure they did, but I just didn't do it.
Here's the key. I should have just told Ava, you can't take senior pictures. You're not getting your hair done. You're not doing makeup. And she would have fought me until she got it done.
A little reverse psychology would have worked on that one right there.
I didn't even think of that.
About these invitations that you haven't sent out yet, those strictly fall on the parents, right?
100%. I have 250 invitations. I'm an only child. Who am I sending these invitations?
We let Ava do the invitations. And that's why when I had the big box camera, I was like, I don't even know this many people.
I don't know what to do with these invitations. And then my sister-in-law, Sister Maddox, said, Dana, you send those out. She gets money. Like, to who? Who do I send them out?
We're just going to start sending them to listeners.
Mike, that is the worst.
You never met
idea.
Our daughter, but hey, send her $20.
That's the
are
worst
the invitations for the graduation ceremony or are they for the party?
Graduation ceremony. Oh, and which is, you know, at 10 a.m. on a freaking Tuesday with 5 million other graduates. I'm sure that's going to be very exciting. I get to sit through all of that. Yay.
I'm looking forward to this. We put in 12 hard years of work. I remember the first day of kindergarten and that, like, I'm really looking forward to graduation day.
You recall the first day of your daughter's kindergarten?
Yes, I took her to school. She wore this little like pink and yellow dress and she had cowboy boots. Honestly, it feels like yesterday. When they say the time flies by, they're not lying to you. It really flies by.
Oh, are you getting emotional?
I am getting a little emotional. I'm excited for her. I'm excited for this next stage of her life.
I am too, but I'm sure all the other people we're going to invite, all 10 of them, are not so excited to be at this ceremony with 5,000 other kids getting their diplomas. But the party, this is the thing. She wants to throw a party. I'm like, mija, this is for our family and close friends. We're not throwing some kind of rager. You're not making an Instagram reel here for, you know, your friends. We're having grown-ups. She's like, I just wanted it to be my friends. We got into a huge argument about it.
She thought this was going to be Project X or something and that she was going to put the car in the pool.
I'm a little disappointed because you guys are supposed to be cool parents. What's going on here? What are we doing here? You guys throwing a nice little family gathering?
Yeah.
Yes.
When it comes to parenting, I'm not cool at all, dude. No. I'm dad. That's who I am.
Remember Regina?
I want to look out for her best interest.
Remember Regina George's mom? I'm the opposite of that.
See, what's a movie?
Mean Girls.
I'm a cool mom.
There it is.
Yeah, I am not a cool mom. I'm the exact opposite. We came to the agreement. We're throwing a party. We're going to have friends and family over. All her friends are invited as well. And I'm hiring a taco truck. We're going to have birria tacos. So she's very excited about that.
There we go. Yeah, she can wait. All the parties going to happen in the fall time anyway. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, either. I'm not about underage drinking. No beer, birria tacos. Whoa. See, sorry, not on my watch.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
A 2-year-old little boy went missing from his home. Little Bowden Allen wandered off. Now his parents start looking for him, realize after a few minutes they can't find him, immediately call police, and they are just going insane. Hours and hours go by. The entire night goes by. This child is not located.
It's like a parent's worst nightmare.
Helicopters, people on razors, the police department, volunteers, everybody is searching the entire ranch, the desert, the town, looking for this boy, and he's not found by any of these people. He's found by a rancher's dog named Buford.
Hey, whoa. Shout out to the dog. Shout out to Buford.
You know, Clifford has nothing on Buford. You know what I'm saying? So Buford the dog located this little boy. And the rancher who owns Buford actually did an interview with NBC News and said this.
Way there, I see Buford coming down the deal right there with a little blonde-haired boy with him. There was 1,000 ways for that to go really, really bad in one good way, and luckily it turned out to be the good way.
Buford is an Anatolian Pyrenees. Apparently, these giant dogs are protectors.
Buford is a godsend.
And he is a godsend. What no man could do, the dog did.
You know, this actually happened to me.
Oh, you got
true
saved,
story.
Played by a dog?
Yes. So I was about 3 years old. We used to live on a farm. It was a corn farm. And we just lived in the house. We weren't with the farmers. We just rented the house. And I got lost in the corn farm. And my mom was gone. My dad was there by himself. And
you're talking about a real cornfield.
Yes, humongous cornfield.
Those can get scary, right? Because once you get pretty easily turned around in those.
Yes,
you?
Exactly.
How old were you?
About 3 years old. It's one of my first memories that I have. Oh, so I'm scary. Walking around the cornfield, and I remember I walked up to the underground corn silo, and I remember my parents always told me, don't you dare ever go in there because that's where they chop
up. Explain what a silo is. It's like a hole right in the ground.
And that's where they chop up all the old corn and just get rid of it. It's like the big trash can, basically. I remember looking down in there, and I could hear my dad screaming for me, and then my dad's dog, his name was Prince, he was a Belgian Shepherd, pulls up on me and just starts barking, and he continues to bark, and that's how my dad found me. So my dad walked over to me, and then I remember my dad even telling me, he was like, Let's not tell your mom this whole story, okay?
Did you tell your mom?
Of course we did. We had to. It was a miracle. The dog really found me. It was not like, obviously I wasn't out there overnight, but I was there gone for a couple hours.
Well, those cornfields are,
it's really scary.
Corn maze. Yeah. They don't, it's
corn maze. And you know, there's been a lot of pro cat energy of the past recent year, and I support it, but this is another example of why dogs are men's best friends.
Anthony, oh, all right, my God.
This is stuff that shout out to the dogs for saving you, and I believe that, you know, a dog or any pet will show you unspoken love, and that's what we're seeing here.
You know, I think about it, the cat might have pushed you in that silo. All right, so the rancher said later that evening he felt like Buford deserved a treat. They baked him a 2-pound ribeye for dinner. What did your dad feed Prince?
The mailman, because he ended up. That's a whole other story, but he did end up.
We'll end on the high.
What he did to the mailman. He saved your life that day.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Jelly Roll literally on top of the world right now, touring with Post Malone. So why is he writing the governor of Tennessee about his parole? I'll explain everything right now, but first, Anthony, A. Famous people's birthdays.
We have Cedric the Entertainer celebrating a birthday, Barbara Streisand, and Kehlani celebrating a birthday as well.
Oh, happy birthday, Kehlani. All right, so Mr. Jelly Roll has been in jail more than 36 times.
Dang.
So a lot of people don't know that he has struggled with addiction since he was very young, and since age 14, he started robbing people.
Yeah, he's done 2 different prison stints of 8 years.
That's a lot of jail time. He also says that he was an addict. And so we're talking aggravated robbery, a lot of drug charges, serious drugs. And now he's been endorsed for a pardon by the Tennessee Board of Parole. That just happened earlier this week, and the governor is considering it. Now, of course, his legal name is not Jelly Roll. Jason Deford is his legal name, and I just really hope they consider this. I am all about second chances. It took him many chances to get where he is, but he's here and he's doing so much to help others who are in the same situation.
We saw for ourselves that he actually went and visited a prison and was trying to direct kids to stay out of prison, to stay, you know, once they get out, to put their life on the right path.
He's been doing this in every city he travels to.
And I'm only here today because I don't know you, but I love you. And I'm here to tell you that because when I was in a place like this 30 years ago, nobody came and told me that.
We saw one time he's doing this all over the country, not just with juveniles, with adults. He's brought men onto stage and allowed them to sing and tell them that they loved him, that he loved them. That's the thing he said he was missing, was love. Mm. And when you are loved, you can love yourself. And so I'm hoping that they do grant this.
Yeah, he's a very genuine soul, and it seems like what he's doing comes from the purest intentions possible. I'm just still can't get over the fact of like how big he is now, and like he was robbing people. That's like, yes.
Anthony, that's the past, right? That's what I mean. You never know who you're dealing with, and forgiveness is everything. No, I had a conversation. We had an inside family disagreement about forgiveness, and someone in my family, because I talked about my uncle Ishmael, and I said, I forgive him for everything. And they said, well, he didn't do anything that bad. And I said, yes, he did. And I explained to him my uncle's past, and this person couldn't believe it. I said, he was reformed. He understood. He learned his lessons. Of course, he was not the man he was once. He's a new person. And that's why I believe anybody is capable of reform. They just have to want it and accept it. Hopefully Jelly Roll gets pardoned.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Hottest hashtags here on the Dana Cortez Show. What is trending? We got you. My name is Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A, a.k.a. Lil Latinx.
Biggest story this week, most definitely, the mass shooter in El Paso, Patrick Crucius, was sentenced to life in prison. Now, of course, he conducted a mass shooting in 2019. It was in August. He drove from Dallas, Texas, all the way across the state to El Paso with the intent of killing Mexicans. And I don't want to mince my words because some headlines say Hispanics and this and that. No, he wanted to kill Mexicans because he believed there was an invasion. That kind of rhetoric is dangerous. And people like him will hold on to it, grasp onto it, and take action, which he did.
He's also a self-proclaimed white nationalist.
Yes, 100%. So he loved that verbiage. He loves when people say there's an invasion happening because it confirms his warped opinion. It's absolutely untrue. Now, Judge Sam Medrano from the bench told Patrick this while he was sentencing him.
Your mission failed. You did not divide this city. You strengthened it. You did not silence its voice. You made it louder.
That part right there is so important because he did not win. The community is stronger. And this man will rot in prison for the rest of his life where he belongs.
Rightfully so.
Some of the people that lost their loved ones, from brothers to children, mothers and fathers, forgave him. They're not going to be terrorized. They're going to rise above it. In fact, two people were actually allowed to hug him and show him that they forgave him. The judge allowed that. That's usually not allowed. But he said, if that's what you need to move forward, let's do it. And you could tell that the man is just, he's not sorry for what he did. I'll tell you that. So I'm glad they're putting him away. Anthony, you were there in El Paso the day that this happened.
Yeah, I was driving through on my way back from southern New Mexico to South Texas. And I was in El Paso, right downtown, when they shut everything down that tragic morning, August 3rd, 2019. So it was a day I'll never forget. I was probably less than a couple miles away from that Walmart where everything happened. And to hear the story of what you just told about how some of the victims' family are coming forward and offering a hug and letting them know how they, you know, are practicing forgiveness, I think is a shining example and a bright light on the people of El Paso. And, you know, if they could do it in their hearts to find something like this and find forgiveness, then I think it is going to help us all proceed forward with a broader perspective.
Forgiveness is one thing. He's still got to pay the price. Rest of your life in prison, sir. Rest of your life. All right, DJ Automatic, what do we have for food news?
Buffalo Wild Wings is bringing back one of its most popular deals, all-you-can-eat wings and fries. And here's the best part about it. You can mix and match. So you can go boneless or you can go bone-in wings.
It's only bone-in. There's no such thing as wings if there's no bone in it. If it's a boneless, it's a chicken nugget.
I'm not going to argue that because I'm a bone-in guy.
Let's not divide right now over this great situation. The thing is that Buffalo Wild Wings understands that there's some wing in and wing out lovers, and they're satisfying both of us. So we could sit at this table and enjoy all of our wings or winged out wings together.
I'm really a flats person, by the way. Flats, no drummies.
Oh, I'm a drums guy. But I will eat flats too. Do you know what? I don't discriminate. I'll even eat boneless.
Otto, you know what makes me angry? Anthony, listen to what he does. He knows that I only like flats. He'll eat all the flats. And he knows. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I like them both. Well, no, you like them both and just eat the fat ones, the drummies, and let me have the flats.
I just like wings, Dan. I'm not going to discriminate, okay?
Well, you need to discriminate so that I can have the flats.
Yeah.
All right. National Day, Anthony A.
All right, we're going to go back to the 1990s, and we're going to start with National Teach Your Children to Save Day. This was established in 1997 by the American Bankers Association, encouraging you to teach all the young children financial literacy if you can.
This is very important. In my household, we didn't talk about financial literacy. It was just get a good job and blah, blah, blah. That's not enough. The day the children are born, we must start an IRA, a Roth IRA, and you also want to make sure you start a 529 for them. That's a college savings. The day your children are born. If you want more details on this, you can hit me at Dana Cortez on Instagram. Your kids could be millionaires by the time they're 30. If you do what
we
I'm
need
telling
to do this
now.
As a topic.
Okay, if you want it as a topic, hit me up. I'm going to have our financial advisor on. I think that would be good. All right, what's next, Ant?
I think this one is topic worthy as well, too. We have National Pigs in a Blanket Day, y'all. Yes, dude. Now, these are of course, a close cousin to my favorite breakfast in the morning, kolaches. But pigs in a blanket. You got to love it, dude. I love a good pigs in a blanket. It got to be tender, though. I don't like it when it's too crispy. And let's wrap it up on National Take Your Daughters and Sons to Work Day.
Oh, this is so amazing. Earlier, Anthony explained to me and DJ Automatic that it is about teaching your kids possibly envision themselves in a career. To me, it's a way to save money on your daycare this one day.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.